World, the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor. Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, examining the capitals of the Americas and their response or non-response to the tragedy in the Middle East these last days and their history with bad actors, now named by the Wall Street Journal as part of the planning, funding, and green lighting. I'm thinking of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC, also Hezbollah, its surrogate in Beirut, said to be in on the planning and execution of these murder attacks. Ernesto, I ask you about Chile, and I have this from Arab News. In Chile, where an estimated 500,000 Palestinians and their descendants live, making up the largest community in a diaspora outside the Middle East, community leaders were dissatisfied with the statement released by Foreign Minister Alberto Van Cleveren in these last hours. Van Cleveren said in part, "We are following with great concern the terrorist attack against Israel and express solidarity with the victims and their relatives." He went on to say, "We condemn the use of violence and demand its immediate stop. We keep our commitment to the peace process between Israel and Palestine." That seems unobjectionable at this point, but it is very much objected to by Chile. Is Chile a state that's in between? Is Chile a state that's dominated by 500,000 Palestinians? Thank you, Ernesto.
So, John, Chile is very divided politically, and they have a strong, let's say, pro-Western tradition and a strong pro-Western and pro-democracy opposition to Gabriel Boric's government, which by tendency would be much more pro-totalitarian. So I think that's what helps to explain this balanced, but let's say condemning terrorism, this statement by the Chilean foreign minister. Of course, anything that puts the blame on the Palestinians would be not well received by the Palestinian community in Chile. But I think Chile's position can be explained by that sort of a balance inside the country between different forces, which is already sad to see, because Chile was for a long time the most pro-Western and not by coincidence the most economically successful country in South America. And now under Boric, they are much more like Lula. Okay, we condemn terrorism, but actually we don't condemn it that much. They have to step carefully. I mean, maybe this would be different in the past. But what concerns me as a Brazilian is that we don't have that same sort of political balance in Brazil. All the institutions in Brazil are taken by the Lula regime, by the anti-Western, pro-totalitarian tendencies. Media is, mainstream media is totally on the side of Lula's government. So what happens in Brazil and what can balance that totalitarian friendship of Lula is, and his bringing Brazil into the totalitarian bloc, is the public opinion. And that's, I think, in the case of Brazil, like I said, the explanation for Lula's position. But I mean, Chile's stance, it's an encouragement, I think, for countries that have struggled with narco-socialism in the past and now see a country that brought to power a president linked to narco-socialism, but that needs to keep at least one foot on the democratic West.
Joseph, I come to you about Argentina and undergoing an election process right now. Very difficult to judge a country where the vote is near at hand and there's some sharp differences between the candidates. We do have this from Arab News. Significant Jewish and Palestinian communities live in Argentina. President Alberto Fernandez, who is not running for re-election, condemned, quote, the brutal terrorist attack perpetrated by Hamas. He said he talked to Israeli President Isaac Herzog, repeated a couple of times that it was a terrorist act. Argentinian Finance Minister Sergio Massa, who is a major figure for election, running for president, also expressed solidarity with Israel and repudiated the terrorist aggression waged by Hamas. He used the word terrorist. There are two other candidates of note, Millay and Boric. Boric, however, I come to you on the irony here. Argentina is the one country in all of the Americas I've learned these last years to associate closest with the Hezbollah, with Iran, with bad actors, some of whom have led to the assassination of a prosecutor into the terror bombings of the late 20th century. And now we have what appear to be, what you'd have to say, unrestrained condemnation of Hamas. How do we interpret this, Joseph?
Yeah, John, so, you know, Argentina has two messages, right? One's a very public message, and the other's a very private message. Publicly, they do condemn Hamas for the attacks that was expressed by the president, Alberto Fernandez, his ministers. You mentioned this, John. But privately, they do nothing to go after the Hamas and Hezbollah networks that still permeate in Argentina, even these 25-plus years after the Amia terrorist attacks in 1994. In fact, the previous government to Alberto Fernandez, the Macri government in Argentina, was the first government in the history of Latin America to create a terrorist registry, a designation on Hezbollah and Hamas in their country. The current government, the Alberto Fernandez government, did nothing to take that registry and operationalize it to go after the networks that operate inside the country and even around surrounding territories. It's always very convenient when something like this happens for them to try to whitewash their record at basically giving impunity to Iran and Hezbollah for carrying out terrorist attacks in their country. And obviously they have an election coming up, so they're going to try to be very careful about how they're going to weave their statements. Sergio Massa is the candidate for president in the Argentine elections. There's no way he's going to be able to not condemn these terrorist attacks. But the condemnation in terms of statements has to be accompanied by the condemnation in terms of actions. The Argentine government has not taken any actions in the last 4 years to pursue the terrorist networks from Hamas and Hezbollah that continue to permeate the tri-border area and other parts of their country to its benefit.
This is narco-terrorism, Joseph, we're talking about, not simply sitting around planning attacks on peaceful states. And narco-terrorism is very much part of the income of many countries, not just Argentina, but I believe it was last year we went through that strange episode of an airliner that landed in Buenos Aires and was not permitted to leave for some weeks, and detention of the pilot and other members of the crew who are associated with the IRGC. I'm remembering incompletely, but in any event, that was the Fernandez government with Kirchner, the vice president. Isn't that an up-to-date link with Hezbollah, I think, and Iran?
Absolutely, John. No, that's a great example. That's a great example of where the Argentine government can say what they want in terms of condemning, you know, bad actors. But when it came down to actually prosecuting these bad actors, they didn't do anything. They didn't help the Argentine judicial system. They didn't help make sure that this case gets a very thorough investigation and trial. What they did was basically try to whitewash it, try to misinform, disinform in the press about it, and then eventually let go of the cargo, let go of the IRGC personnel that was piloting the plane. And the only reason they can't let go of the plane is because it's seated under judicial authority that's also backed by the Department of Justice. So, you know, I go back to, you know, they say very convenient things in the Argentine government, but behind the scenes, they do very inconvenient actions. And Argentina is a hub. It's a hub for all this stuff because it's one of the first places that Hezbollah, Hamas, and Iran started to converge and operate in Latin America. It remains this way to this day. The tri-border area is a historic terror finance hub in the Western Hemisphere. And as you mentioned, John, this is narco-terrorism because the proceeds of narco-trafficking, which are enormous, we're talking about cocaine, we're talking about heroin, we're even talking about fentanyl, which is, you know, coming from China. But nonetheless, the Latin American cartels that are benefiting from this illicit proceeds, they have turned to Hezbollah specifically, but other organizations in the Middle East, to basically launder their money and create networks in the Middle East. And what Hezbollah and Iran have done is they have taken that relationship to fund the war effort. They did it in Iraq to fund the IEDs that were basically being used to attack U.S. soldiers. They done it in Syria to create the civil war that the Soleimani basically started to against the Syrian people and to defend the dictator Bashar al-Assad. They did it in Yemen with the Houthi rebels, and now they're doing it with Hamas and Hezbollah to attack Israel. This one, to me, is the big one because it's the one that's going to be able to catalyze all the efforts that they've been building over time to, as Iran says, to once and for all wipe Israel off the map. And I know that's something that Israel is going to defend with all their might. And this is something that all democratic nation states need to get behind Israel in this fight.
I'm speaking with Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. When we come back, I will ask Ernesto to comment on the Brazil-Palestine Institute and the Arab-Palestinian Federation of Brazil. These look like established institutions, and what they are saying or how they will react to the war in the Middle East again very much influences other parts of the Americas. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.